So I'm getting five people are like insisting Kelly is coming back.
They're eating duck territory.
And so one guy
man.
I've already made a deal with. I'm not betting cash with listeners. I just think that can cost me my job.
Yeah,
it's not worth it. I've got one guy I promise to sing his favorite song on the radio if Kelly comes back.
Journey song.
No one likes you at all. All right, let's get to it, please.
Fever, man.
It's crunch time. It's Tuesday. It's that time. It's Alex.
I'm going to start with the Washington Nationals, I ask.
What are you doing?
We have actually talked about Bryce Harper asking for a boatload of money before on this show. Actually, I think we previously put the number at like 20 years and $500 million or something. It was insane. It's being reported this week that Harper is asking for more than 10 years, around $400 million, and that the Nationals were apparently taken aback by it and are prepared to move on without Harper. Okay, first of all, that's a lie. And if it isn't a lie, the Nationals haven't been paying attention to Harper's agent, one. And two, the marketplace for high-end baseball players. Because Giancarlo Stanton just got 13 years, $325 million. That's $25 million per for a guy who is a great hitter when healthy, but isn't healthy that often. Bryce Harper's only 24 years old, has already been a Rookie of the Year and a league MVP. I not only say you should give Harper 10 years and $400 million, like he's reportedly asking for, but that they should lock him up for like 15 years and $500 million. That's a little over $30 million per, and there's actually a decent chance he could play that out because he'd be in his late 30s when it runs out. Pay the man before somebody else does and you no longer have the cornerstone of your franchise and your best player for the next two decades, and stop acting like baseball isn't monopoly money anyways, as I ask.
What are you doing?
You mentioned it when we were talking. When you nail it down that he's 24.
Pay him.
Well, not only that, he's going to get better.
Yes.
This year was a blip, yes. And he still produced. He still plays hard. He runs. He scores runs. He plays the outfield. He's got a good arm.
15-year contract. He plays that out because he would be 39 years old. I bet you he would.
I would go 10 years, $400 million, as crazy as that sounds.
Because
in 7 years, $40 million for that guy at 30, 31, be like, okay, he's right in the middle.
That's going to be a bargain in 10 years. Think about that.
By the way, this whole Chip Kelly thing, people got to understand, we love Chip Kelly.
Totally, dude.
I mean, he and I had an actual relationship.
He called in after the Tampa Bay rumors.
Right.
He called in.
He called here. He wanted to go on here. Remember, drove the guys in Portland nuts. And not only that, but, you know, his assistant called me a couple times. We got involved with that bowling tournament he did a couple of years to raise money for... Oh, my God, I forgot the...
Okay, bottom line is Chip Kelly's rad, and it'd be fun to have
around.
Yeah,
love Chip Kelly. I just think it's ludicrous to think he's coming back.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
That's because it is.
And to double down, to some Oregon fans on the phone, Twitter, and text and email, I ask...
What are you doing?
What's so hard to understand? It's over. The decision to fire Mark Helfrich is inclusive. Chip Kelly's not coming back. I don't think any of the coaches are coming back. So your friend who has a buddy who once walked into the same Albertsons as a guy who owned a Bill Musgrave jersey doesn't know anything about the next coach. They have no insight into what Rob Mullins was going to do prior to last Tuesday. This is not an on-demand situation. When they decide who the coach is, you'll know, I'll know, and your lying idiot friend will know. Just keep the refresh button close and stop faking your status, as we ask.
What are you doing?
Those Russian fake news stories, man.
Right,
coming
right.
back to bite.
Hasn't it done enough damage?
Journey song. To my San Francisco 49ers, I ask.
What are you doing?
I knew you guys were the second worst team in the NFL already. I had come to terms with that fact, you know, went through the 12 stages of denial or whatever and all that, come out the other side with clarity. My team is awful. And that fact is not going to change. And the sooner I move on with my life, the better off I'll be. But then they had to go out and embarrass me all over again against the Bears. And yes, it is absolutely personal. I'm taking it that way. The Niners lost to the Bears this weekend and didn't even gain 150 yards of total offense. Now, those two things aren't even the embarrassing parts of this segment, because those two things were expected, even though the Bears are also awful at football. This is the 49ers season in a nutshell. They blocked a punt. Some guy no one has ever heard of named Dante Johnson recovered it, thought he had scored a touchdown, so he and his teammates, also guys no one has ever heard of, did snow angels in the end zone and got penalized for it. The problem is that Johnson stepped out of bounds at the 4-yard line. So the 49ers got a celebration penalty for a touchdown that never happened. Also, they settled for a field goal because of the 15-yard penalty. As I ask,
what are you doing?
I guess we only have time for one more.
Oh, we got time.
To a giant receiver, Odell Beckham Jr., I ask.
What are you doing?
He's like the Mike Stoops of NFL players. Nothing is too petty or small to take him off his game. Remember that Arizona game here in 2010 when Stoops was still arguing a call like 3 plays later? One of his players was like, "Coach, the game is going on." Well, that's OBJ. Such a mega talent, but man, he doesn't get a call. It just lingers. He's the type of immature, thin-skinned child who will not let it go. Defenders know they can get in his head. He's a great player. For the most part, it's under control. But this is the first time he's played for a contender, so more is on the line this time around. He needs to get his rear end focused. Cowboys this week, as we ask.
What are you doing?
Some good memories of Barney Rubble there. To Ron Rivera, I ask.
What are you doing?
You realize that you aren't the head coach of like a high school team, right? Like there are millions of billions of dollars invested in what your football team does every weekend. So enforcing a dress code for road trips to the point where you aren't going to start your franchise player and your sub actually hurts your team by throwing an interception, you realize that that's on you for being petty, right? And in terms of suits that Cam Newton has worn over the years, this is actually the classiest, nicest, tamest looking one I've seen. TMZ yeah. posted a video of the altercation between Cam and Rivera online. Cam was about to get off the bus. Rivera met him at the door, told him he was going to bench him because he wasn't wearing a tie. Seriously, the guy the team pays $120 million to win games didn't start against the Seahawks because he wasn't wearing a tie on a bus ride to the stadium. Bro, there are some college and high school jobs available in this area. Like, I can put you in touch with some people if you want to do Mickey Mouse stuff like that with your players. How about you focus on wins instead? Because your team's 4-8 right now, as we ask.
What are you doing?
That is just, do I have time for one more?
Yeah, do it.
It's too easy. To the New York Jets, I ask.
What are you doing?
What was that? Seriously, even for a failure of a franchise, the laughing stock of the Big Apple, and that includes the Nets, talk about unprofessional and a clown act, came out of the bye, played the Patriots pretty tough last week, so did you figure, well, there was our effort, we're done. You were aware this was a national TV game and people could see you. You are aware you just cost your coach's job, and at least you can find out if Bryce Petty is the answer. The divorce between me and this franchise is the happiest split ever from my chair, as we ask.
What are you doing?